Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Thank you very much, Eddie. Do keep that reading open. Let's pray. Dear God, please teach us true greatness as we listen to your word now. Lord, please help us listen to the words of Jesus. Amen. Well, there I was, and I was sat. It was about 7 years ago, and I was sat at the bedside of my father-in-law. But my father-in-law did not have much time to live. And I was sat there. We were on a rotation, us members of the family. And I remember a wise person saying to me, David, if there's anything that needs to be said in your family, now is the time to say it. And it is often true that death focuses the mind. It is then that we realize that opportunity is not a lengthy visitor. And that is exactly the situation that Jesus and his followers are in. This is the night before Jesus is going to die. What is Jesus going to say? What does he want them to hear about? And the answer is that Jesus has been talking about his own death and what that means. We've been hearing 2 weeks ago, we listened from Dema and Jesus, the Passover lamb. Last week, we heard about communion and Jesus wanting us to remember Jesus' death. And we keep coming back to that question. What is so important about Jesus' death? What is so important about Jesus' death? Why is it that Jesus' last breath on a cross matters so much? And here we see, we're going to explore that big question under two headings. The first one is Jesus' death redefines greatness. Jesus' death redefines greatness. Greatness is a big topic at the moment for us. Maybe you watched on the news this week, you saw that row between Trump and Zelensky. We are talking about greatness, aren't we? You have those two different visions of what greatness looks like and what it meant to be a great country and whether they thought Putin was great. Two very different visions. And that is what we are talking about today. And Jesus, in these verses, gives us a very different vision for how greatness in the world works. Have a look down with me at verse 25. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are to be not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." And let's get that slide up of the goats. Oh, thank you very much, John. That is very kind. Great. Now, I wondered how you did. And just as we're thinking about that, we were trying to think over this week, who are the people that we call the goats, the greatest of all time? And, you know, these were some of the ones that came to mind, the ones that people talk about as the greatest in their field. Maybe we thought there were some people missing from that list, and maybe different groups of people missing from that list. It is quite striking, isn't it, as we were thinking about this, that actually the people that we call great in our world today, generally the people we call great are people who have done great things, often mostly for themselves, or maybe they have achieved great things for themselves or have been true to themselves in some difficult situation. That is very revealing, not about them, but actually about us and what we value. We value people who achieve things for themselves. But actually, Jesus has said it works differently to that. The greatest, look at how he redefines greatness. The greatest is the one who serves. Verse 26, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. And Jesus gives a picture. If we can get that slide of Jesus redefines greatness. Jesus gives a picture. He says, picture someone at the dinner table in a restaurant. There's two people there. There's the person being served and there's the person serving. Which one is the greatest? And Jesus says, it's the one who's serving. It's the one who's serving at the table. It's the powerful thing. And Jesus is talking. He's looking forward to his death. And how Jesus' death will be that great act of service. And it's so striking, isn't it? Because if we look again at that picture, actually, if we are honest with ourselves, many of us have been programmed to think, I want to spend my life so that I can be served at the table. I want to study hard so I don't find myself being a waiter. And I don't find myself being the one serving, but so that I be the one served instead. And that is so around us and how we have been programmed to think. But Jesus says it is so different. And it's worth stopping and reflecting just how different Jesus' vision is, how radical Jesus' words are. And as we look at this, ask ourselves that question, where would we want to be in the restaurant? What are we aspiring to be? Maybe for us, as we think about as we grow up and what do we want to do with our lives, where do we want to be standing? Are we wanting to be the person served or the person serving? Jesus says the greatest is the one who serves. I remember starting as a ministry trainee for a church, and it was one of the things they got us to do was they got us to move the chairs around and spend hours and hours moving chairs because the idea was that it would humble us, basically. And I remember standing there looking. There was a former young civil engineer of the year. There was an accountant. There was a PwC graduate pushing around chairs. And then I probably stopped looking and probably should have tried to help them at that point. But there is greatness. And maybe we can think of other examples of what it means to be truly great. The Christian that opens their house during the week for the house group, on the Sunday for the people to join with them and cook dinner for them, the people who the rest of the people are ignoring. Maybe it's the people who say, oh, you need a car. Yes, you can borrow mine. Here are the keys. I'm always struck by a number of my peers taking up their annual leave to serve and to volunteer. It's a beautiful vision. But there is one problem as we see this beautiful vision. And it's fair to say, as we look at this, yes, that is wonderful. And isn't it striking how people use that language of servant leadership? In the 1970s, there was a guy called Robert Greenleaf, and he wrote this management book on servant leadership, and lots of people were reading it and talking about it in management circles. The government, our current government, are talking about a government as a government who serves. It's around us everywhere. It's a great thing to aspire to. The only problem is, what do we do when we fail? What do we do when we fail? And this is where our discussion becomes much more grown up. What do we do when we fail? What do we do when we fail Jesus? And we could say, well, we could just say sorry and move on. But actually, it's not always easy like that. I mean, take an example. Let's say I make fun of the vicar of Emmanuel's dress sense. Maybe we could work that out afterwards. But actually, let's say I said something really harsh. I said something really personal. Maybe I said something in front of lots of people. Actually, it doesn't take long before you run out of runway. And when something like that happens, how do we restore that relationship? Well, we can say sorry, but there's so much pain that has been thrown up there. Someone's got to deal with that pain. Either I have to deal with that pain, or the Vicar of Emmanuel's got to deal with that pain. What do we do with that? And this was the problem that I found growing up. I grew up, and my generation of youth group, we had the WJD braces on our hand. What was Jesus do? And that was really true and really helpful. But we didn't really have an answer. Well, what if you fail? What if we fail? And if we think that this isn't an issue for me, we're making the exact same mistake that Peter made. Have a look at what Peter says. So Jesus has been talking about true greatness, and it's not going well for the disciples. Let's put it that way. So verse 24, what have they been arguing about? Well, they've been having an argument about which one of them is the greatest. And then as Jesus explains this to Peter and how it's going to, how things are about to unfold, Peter says, verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Peter says, yeah, you're saying we're going to fail, Jesus, but I won't. I'm going to be fine, mate, okay? And Peter thinks, his problem is he thinks too highly of himself. He's arguing about who is the greatest. And then he sort of pushes everything that Jesus has said to one side about him going to die. And Peter says, no, you're not going to die, and I'm going to be with you. We're going to fight this out. He's thought too highly of ourselves. And it's not hard as we read this to think, actually, there is a lot of things of me in Peter. And he is a lot like me. What does Peter miss? Peter has missed the greatest thing. And if we've understood that serving is a really important thing, but stop there, we will still miss the greatest thing, the most important thing. And this is really important, everyone. This is what I didn't get. I understood what would Jesus do, but I didn't understand the greatest thing. And the greatest thing is that Jesus is the one who serves us. Have a look at verse 27. The end of verse 27. I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is saying, you want to talk about service? This is really important. But you have to realize that I serve you. I am among you as the one who serves. I am the servant. I serve you. That takes us to the second big thing that we want to see. Jesus' death redefines greatness. Jesus' death rescues failure. Jesus' death rescues failure. This is the greatest moment in all history. Jesus' death. And Jesus is saying that through his death, when he dies on the cross, it won't be a tragedy. It's actually part of Jesus' plan. This is going to be the moment when he serves his followers. His greatest act, the greatest moment in all history, as he serves his people, he dies for them, meaning that they can be joined to God. This is what Jesus is all about. I am among you who serves. And Jesus' hearers, who would have read the Old Testament, would have picked up on that language that Jesus is picking up on, of the servant. God's people were predicted a king. They were also predicted a servant. And in Isaiah 53, it talks about a servant who will die in the place of Jesus's of the people. Take the just judgment that they deserve so that they can be forgiven and set free. And if you notice, that's what Jesus quotes right at the end. He picks up on that, Isaiah 53. That's why we've been talking about serving, because Jesus wants us to know that he is the servant. Christianity is all about dying. The greatest thing is not WWJD, what would Jesus do? But WHJD, what has Jesus done? What has Jesus done for us? That is what it's all about. That is what it's all about. And so, whereas any other religion will say do, Jesus says done. Jesus walks with us. He is among us as the one who serves. And so Jesus' invitation for us this evening is very simple. Let Jesus serve you. Let Jesus serve you. Peter, what was his problem? He thought too highly of himself, both on the being the greatest, serving, lording it over, and also realizing that he needed Jesus to die for him. He needed Jesus to go and die. Let Jesus serve you. And that was the big thing for me, the real breakthrough. After hearing much about Jesus, understanding that the cross was important, but I wasn't sure what it was all about, seeing that I need to call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I come to you with open hands. Lord, I can't do this myself. I can't earn my way. I need your cross. I need your forgiveness. Wash me. Wash me clean. Forgive me. Lord, I need you. I come to you in dependence. Lord, please serve me. Please serve me. That is the invitation that Jesus gives us tonight as we look at this passage. And someone who really understood this was John Bunyan. And I know a number of us have been reading Pilgrim's Progress, the greatest book ever written apart from the Bible. And it's the story of the Christian life. And it's based on his own walk with Christ. And the story starts off, if you know it, is where there's a character, it's called Christian. Okay, so that's the Christian. And the Christian hears the gospel and is crying, what do I do about this? And there's someone called Evangelist who says, go up the narrow path. And Christian meets these other people, but they don't seem to have the right answer. He's got this burden on his back, his guilt. What does he do about that? What do we do when we fail? He's got this burden, and he's carrying it on his back, and it weighs him down. And it's at the point that he comes up a hill, and he comes up to the cross. And as he comes to the cross, and as he looks to the cross, his burden drops, and it falls in the tomb, never to be seen again. He gets a new robe, a clean robe that he knows that he has and he will have when he walks into the celestial city. And he jumps up and he cries three times, and he sings because of what Jesus has done. And that is an amazing story of someone who came to Jesus, who let Jesus served him, and found forgiveness and assurance and certainty that God was for him, whatever happened. Let me finish with the words that he sung. And some of it's quite old-fashioned, but the truths are so powerful. Thus far I did come laden with my sin, the burden on his back. Nothing could ease the grief I was in till I came here. What place is this? Must here be the beginning of my bliss? must hear the burden fall off my back, must hear the strings that bound it to me crack. Blessed cross, blessed tomb, blessed rather be the man that was put to shame for me. We're going to take a moment. In a moment, the band will lead us in a song talking about Jesus on the cross for us. And maybe we can take that moment as we sing to let Jesus serve us, to receive him, to come to him with open hands. That's what the greatest day in history is all about. Let me take a moment to lead us in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that Jesus, he talked the talk, but also he walked the walk. He showed us an amazing vision of service. How wonderful. And yet he is also the one among us who serves through his death as the great servant. Lord, may we come to you with open hands. Lord, please serve us. We need you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.